Linda, would you come and read to us, please?
And the reading is from John, starting John chapter 18, starting at verse 28 to 40. Jesus before Pilate. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion.
In a minute or two, we're going to be looking at Jesus the King. And in the meantime, we're going to read Jeremiah 31, because it's about the promise that Jesus made in the Old Testament through the Holy Spirit to the people of God, the Israelites at that time, about the covenant that was going to be forever. So we read from Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 37. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and the stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease being a nation before me. This is what the Lord says. Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out, will I reject the descendants of Israel because of all they have done for me, or because of all they have done, declares the Lord." 10 years ago, the late Queen said this: "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life, a role model of reconciliation and forgiveness. He stretched out his hands in love, acceptance and healing. Christ's example has taught me to seek out to respect and value all people of whatever faith or none. Powerful words as we think about this morning Jesus as a king. In the Old Testament, people desperately wanted a king. When they settled the promised land, the first thing they asked God for was a king. We want a king like other nations. And in Jesus' time, it was just the same. They wanted a king as well, and we'll come on to some of the ways in which they wanted a king. And I think it's the same today as well. We want Jesus to rule as king. We have many hymns and songs and carols proclaiming Jesus as a king. But there's some contradiction in this, isn't there? Because the world is in a mess. And if Jesus is king, why not the whole world becoming Christian? Let's look at Jesus' claims to be kingship, to his kingship, as we see in that passage that Linda read to us. Firstly, it reminds us that Jesus is a king. This child is a great source for us to understand the relationship between the physical world and the spiritual world. Pilate is the mighty ruler. The only threat he would recognize as significant from this minor country of Israel will be an attempt to overthrow Roman rule and replace them with a king of their own. So the issue of whether Jesus was a king is very significant. If he was a king, he was a threat to Rome. If not a king, then he was a deluded fool or a victim of conspiracy. Jesus' response to Pilate is that your conclusion or others? He was forcing Pilate to clarify the question. What kind of king do you mean? In many ways, the trial was reversed. Suddenly it was Pilate that was on trial. Many times in this brief trial, Pilate used the word king. Are you a king? Are you king of the Jews? And we have Jesus' reply. I am a king, but not in the way you think I am. During the feeding of the 5,000, we read that the people wanted to force Jesus to be their king. They wanted to force him to lead them against the Romans. And here the Jews and Pilate tried to force Jesus to be an earthly king so that they could do away with him. And my question is, do we still try and put Jesus into an earthly role? Do we blame him for the chaos and evil in this world? I'm sure friends and family who don't believe will say to you, well, if the world's such a mess, where is this Jesus king? And people who have lost loved ones over this Christmas period will probably be thinking to themselves, where is God in all this? If your God is a God of love, why do bad things happen? If Jesus is a king, why is the world in such a mess? And if Jesus is a king, then where is his kingdom? And Jesus explains that his kingdom is not of this earth. It's the kingdom of God. Verse 37 says, you are a king then. Jesus replied, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Is an explanation of the kingdom that Jesus meant. A kingdom of flesh and a kingdom of spirit. I was born, says Jesus, That's his human side, showing his humanity. Jesus was fully human. But then he says he came into the world. That's the divine nature. He was existing before he was a baby. He existed in heaven before he became a baby and born in the, well, we've already said it's not a stable, haven't we? It's a spare room at the back of a house. He was before he was born. This was his origin and his mission, to bear witness to the truth. And this is what Jesus is all about, the truth. I am the truth, he says. So what kingdom is Jesus speaking of? He's speaking of the kingdom of God. The rule of God in people's hearts. Notice I say people, not just Christians. Because Jesus said the kingdom was in some people's hearts before they even became followers. Mark 12, verse 34 says, when Jesus saw that they had answered wisely, he said to them, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared him ask any questions. They were close to the kingdom. The kingdom of God was already working in their hearts. This is important, and yet we miss it again and again. So that when people demand of us, where is your God in all of this? We can say in the hearts of people working to bring his kingdom about. Working in the world, in the hearts of people doing goodly and godly things. By this I mean the things that God approves of. The kingdom of God. When sorrow comes, Christians should be there bringing the kingdom of God, interpreting the kingdom of God. When countries suffer, Christians go and give the kingdom of God. When missionary organizations are working, they're bringing the kingdom of God into the lives of the people that are suffering. Visiting the needy, working with the homeless. These are the works of the kingdom of God. Jesus the King revealed in his followers who served the King of Kings. And that's you and me. So the kingdom of God that Jesus talked about is already here. It's a kingdom already established. The kingdom of God. There's two aspects to this kingdom though. The kingdom is already here. It's established and founded by Jesus. John the Baptist, when he was working in the desert, said that the kingdom of God is coming. When Jesus was here and teaching, he said, the kingdom of God is upon you. And he referred to people being close to the kingdom, not yet in the kingdom, and of the kingdom. In Jesus' ministry, the kingdom of God had begun. The rule of God in people's lives had become a reality. Remember the prophet's words that I read to you in Jeremiah. I will write the words on your heart, not in books, on your heart and in the lives of Christians. More, when the value of teaching of the kingdom of God appears, we as Christians have a calling to interpret the kingdom of God in situations. This is kingdom values, we say. This is kingdom work. This is Jesus' kingdom revealing itself. Even if people are not overtly Christian, remember Jesus said about giving a cup of water and clothes and a visit to the needy, visiting those in prison. In doing so, we will be serving them and serving him. So every kind word, caring action that we perform is for Jesus in a supernatural way as well. So when we see things like Comic Relief and Sport Aid working to alleviate poverty, we should be supportive and say these things are of God's kingdom. These things are important. Water Aid, Oxfam, many, many more. So often Christians are known for what they object to, things that they oppose. But I believe that Jesus would have us say, these things are of God's kingdom and are important. It will be good to be known as a church and as a people of Christ that endorse and encourage. The kingdom of God is alive and should be part of us working in it. So we become interpreters of the kingdom of God. We see the kingdom of God in action and explain to people, God is at work. This is God in action. So that when people say to us, where is your God? We can say, he's here, he's here, he's here. He's working, he's in action. He has begun his work in the world. But there's a second aspect, and that's about the kingdom to come. This other aspect is the thing that Jesus talked about when he said in his teaching about the now and not yet. Jesus also talked about this later kingdom, this completion of the kingdom. And this is the aspect when Jesus will rule in a literal fashion. And this was a confusion that misled the Pharisees, the scribes and lawyers. And the two rules described in the Old Testament of when God would rule and when God would establish his rule. The present rule is in the hearts of men and women, and the future role of the conquering Saviour, the not yet, when Jesus will return. It could be next week. It could be in 1,000 years. We don't know, but the kingdom of God will be fulfilled. I remember a pastor that I worked with when I was at college used to say to me, he said, Paul, he said, I am sure that the kingdom of God will be established and Jesus will return in the next year or so. That was 30 years ago. Now that I'm around his age, I think to myself, yes, the kingdom of God is coming and it's going to be any minute. I don't know if it's just to do with age. But Galatians 5:21 says, I warn you as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is talking about this kingdom of God that will be coming later. So the kingdom of God is the inheritance of the Christians too. The parable of the wise and foolish women. Don't get lazy in waiting reminds us that we are to be like a person on watch. Tom will tell you that if somebody is on watch and they fall asleep, then they're in prison. Yeah, they get charged. If we fall asleep and we become lazy in waiting for Jesus to return, we too will be charged and not inherit. Jesus warns us, don't be lazy. Be alert and be a watchman on the tower, looking for the arrival of the King. In the meantime, we serve the kingdom of God. Colossians 4 verse 11 says, Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. They have proved the comfort to me. Paul is saying there, we work while we wait for the kingdom of God to be established. We allow the kingdom of God to be in our hearts and we interpret it for the kingdom of God for the world that is suffering. And it says too that we will suffer for the kingdom of God. 2 Thessalonians 1:5 says, this is the evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. It's not hard, easy being a Christian. It's hard, and it's hard work. But the kingdom of God established in our hearts will one day be brought to completion. Jesus is King. Jesus, King of Kings. His kingdom is in your heart as a believer, and one day it will be a literal kingdom. With Jesus as King of the kingdom of God, the kingdom that has been established, it will be also fulfilled. We live in it, we live by it, we show our life that Jesus is King. I'm going to end with another message from Queen Elizabeth, the late Queen Elizabeth, this time 2002. I know just how much I rely on my own faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. I know the only way to live my life is to try to do what is right, to take the long view, to give my best in all that the day brings, and to put my trust in God. Like others of you who draw inspiration from your faith, I draw strength from the message of hope in the Christian gospel. This was a queen who submitted to the King of Kings, and we too should be a people who are not only waiting for the kingdom, but are living in the kingdom and interpreting the kingdom in the lives that we live. Let's pray together. We thank you, Father, that Jesus is King. The kingdom of God, which is in our hearts and in the hearts of many. Those who are close to the kingdom, those who are in the kingdom, those who are searching for the kingdom. In all these ways, Lord, you bring us closer to you and bring us closer to the day when you will rule for life, forever, for eternity. Help us to be those who interpret the kingdom in our present lives and look for the kingdom yet to come. Lord, bless us in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.